This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and here again today with Peter Burak, who's been with us all week on the program. And if you haven't had a chance to hear him, we've been talking about family life and his experience of family life and his relationship with his mother and father and just kind of growing up. And I think some really good practical and hopefully inspirational stuff was shared over the last few days. If you didn't have a chance to tune in, you can go to our website at renewalministries.net. Programs are archived there. You can also load them down to whatever device works for you. But we want to continue today, and I'm asking Pete to talk a little bit about millennials, and I hope this can be a very encouraging program as well for parents and grandparents. Welcome back, Pete.
Thanks. Always good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you again.
Yeah,
so you've been doing some work now you've been working hard for the last number of years with young adults and millennials. You are one.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of characteristics about millennials, and there's a lot of parents and pastors and priests and others of parishes that are struggling because they say, where did they all go? You know, they're disconnected from the faith, so many of them. It's a kind of real cliff or precipice in terms of a drop-off demographically with that age group, which is partly why you're doing what you're doing. But why don't you just share with us your heart about what you see and speak to our listeners? And
The very confusing, very hard to represent millennial class group here. Part of the reason millennials are tough to nail down is it's hard to define them. You know, you could go to any different source and type in millennial, and you'll probably get multiple definitions of the age range and all that. But just for our purposes here, let's talk about people in their 20s and 30s, married, single, with or without kids. And we're tough. I think a common question that maybe is expressed, but maybe it's just thought, is what's wrong with them? You know, what's going on with this perverse generation? And I think older generations have always kind of felt that about the next generation coming up.
My dad used to say, son, I don't understand your generation.
Right.
First of all, I don't get the music you listen to. Nobody wants a haircut. Hardly anybody wants to work. What's the problem?
You know, Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, so that's always the case. But then I think there's some defining characteristics of this particular generation that make us unique in some way. So we're selfish. We're materialistic. We're addicted to technology. We're lazy. We question everything. We're allergic to commitment. We're totally noncommittal and all that. We're very entitled. We tend to have a very subjective view of life. Everything is the subjectivism and relativism is very, very common. We're overstimulated and undermotivated. We're overly inclusive and we're incredibly cynical. We're very cynical of authority. We've been burned too many times. I always give the example of when I was at the University of Michigan, when President Obama was elected the first time, there was a parade through the streets of Ann Arbor. The students just poured out. This is our guy. This is our savior. Hope and change, right? 4 years later, no parade. The emperor has no clothes type of thing. We saw it for what it was. And whether it's sports figures or even priests, scandals and different things, we have become incredibly cynical of earthly leadership. That being said, that's kind of the negative, right? And we'd all agree that we could point to those things probably in our own hearts, but then also very clearly manifested in millennials. We're passionate. We want to be passionate. We want to care about something. We want to strive for something that's outside of ourselves, but we have a high threshold for figuring out what that is. We're not going to be easily won to a cause. We want, and maybe we will, but then we're going to become cynical quick. We want to believe in something, but we have a pretty significant filter to get there. We're by and large pretty caring. We want to care for the poor. We want to care for the people who we feel have been slighted. And sometimes that doesn't necessarily line up with everything else, but we want to believe
environmental consciousness too.
Exactly.
Millennials, yeah.
Yep. And so we want to take care of things. We want to take care of people. We have a probably too much of an emphasis on feelings, but we care about how other people are doing, right?
Yeah.
And then ultimately, we're longing. We're longing for meaning. We're longing for purpose. We're longing for genuine community. Social media is awesome. You can have 2,000 friends on Facebook, but it doesn't mean you have a single genuine friend. And that is becoming more and more apparent in our generation, that we want genuine, authentic friendship. We want to be able to look somebody in the eye and know that they're looking at us and they're hearing us, but we don't know how to do it. And that's part of the challenge, is we want it, but the easier route is to do it through a screen. We want leadership, believe it or not. We do. We want genuine leadership. We want true leadership. We're just cynical of it. And so part of what we need to be able to cast a vision for young adults is there is a leader out there who does not have clay feet, and his name is Jesus Christ, right? So we can get to that. But we're longing for truth, and ultimately we're longing for love. true love, sacrificial love, agape love, you know, all the different forms of love that the New Testament talks about. But we're longing to be loved and to be able to love in a genuine way. And certainly the definition of love has taken many different meanings in our generation. You know, it's all about love, man. You know, it's all this stuff. I want to be able to love who I want to love. And so part of the challenge of working with millennials is the definition of terms, right?
Yeah, I want to love who I want to love, how I want to love them, number one. And two, if you love me, you're going to accept whatever decisions I make about how I want to love and who I want to love and all that.
Right.
There's just a lot of confusion there.
Yeah. And ultimately, as we'll get to, the only way to kind of break through some of that is to introduce them to love himself, love the person, Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because that relationship with the Lord, as they encounter his love and are loved by him and their hearts are transformed by his love, all of a sudden, because he is the way, the truth, and the life, the truth becomes understandable, palatable, and life-giving, and the way makes sense. If we lead with doctrine, if we lead with rules, our generation is not going to respond to that, by and large. Very rarely is the...
Yeah, because there's that whole idea, you're telling me how I'm supposed to live, and nobody can tell me that. Because right. To be human is to be desire happiness, to be happy, I got to be free. If I'm going to be free, which is really my birthright, nobody can tell me what I'm supposed to be. I have to design it for myself, exactly. Period. Otherwise, I'm not free. And that includes God, ultimately. You know, right. A lot of times that's part of the struggle. It's like, wait a minute, if he's telling me how I'm supposed to live, I'm not telling myself how I want to live. So that's a problem. Right. That's one of the reasons why I think the generation's big part of the generation pushes God away as well. There's other reasons for that. Sure. But I think that's a piece of it. That's kind of the cultural air they breathe, you know?
Yeah, it's a weird dichotomy because we are longing to be led. We know we don't really have all the answers. It breaks our hearts that we have to look inside ourselves. You know, there's a lot, I've met a lot of young adults who kind of wish they had something that they could point to show them how to live. But they fall back on their experience, they fall back on how they feel, because at least they have some control over that. At least if it leads them wrong, they can point to themselves and say, like, oh, at least, you know, I made this decision. As opposed to when we look at our parents and we look at our teachers and leaders and everything, it's like, who are you to tell me how to live? I mean, you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. I mean, I'm not seeing anything in the older generations that makes me want to be like them. Right. So why would I follow their lead? I'm going to just follow what's in my heart. Yeah. Joey, a guy we work with, he and I go down to campus on a somewhat regular basis and talk to students and just try to evangelize. And one of the first questions we ask is, what is your source of truth? And it's amazing. I would say 95% of the people, their source of truth is their experience, what they've experienced or what they feel. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is kind of like, I don't know, kind of like what my parents say or something. Yeah. But there's no conviction in that one.
Yeah.
But it's always about experience, which I think is very revealing about if we're talking about reaching millennials. If experience is the framework for which they've set up for truth, we're not trying to manipulate their emotions or create an environment where they're kind of tricked into belief, but a genuine encounter with the real Jesus Christ who's living. Yeah. They can't deny that because their whole framework for truth has been built around experience.
Yeah.
And so as soon as they experience him, all of a sudden things are different, right?
You can't presume that if you tell them the truth, quote unquote, that that's going to do it. You know what I mean? Or that that doctrine or dogma is going to do it. Even those things are fundamental and they're really, really important and absolutely necessary. Somehow they have to meet a living person, the living person of Christ. And once they do, it's the game changer. Yep. It's like they encounter him and they didn't know what they didn't know.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, yeah.
But when they have... So how have you seen that happen, Pete? And,
yeah.
And I mean, I don't want to interrupt with your train of thought, but I was just wondering.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any cut and dry formula necessarily for helping someone meet the Lord, but there are definitely some principles at work that help a millennial meet the Lord. Some of it is witness of life. You know, some of it is the person who's inviting them to be able to show that they have a genuine faith themselves. And then just fostering environments where the name of Jesus is spoken in power and conviction and letting the gospel work, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think we don't really believe in the power of the gospel in its message in itself, especially when in an environment where the hearts are ready. And we try to sugarcoat it with all these other things as opposed to just like preaching Jesus Christ crucified in a way that can be compelling to the modern era. So we can get into that because that's a huge topic. But I don't know. I've kind of come up with what I call like the four keys. They're not the only keys, but they're four keys to reaching millennials because we're facing a crisis of discipleship. That's what Pope Benedict said. We're facing a crisis of discipleship in the church today. And so somehow myself and my generation who are faithful and are following the Lord need to dive into this, and certainly the older generations as well. So the first one, which seems overly simplistic and kind of obvious, but we need to pray. We need to pray, and 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 we need to keep praying. And we need to pray intentionally, not simply just, Lord, help my son or daughter meet the Lord. That's a great prayer. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that prayer. But how powerful would it be to pray more intentionally along the lines of, Lord, help him meet some friends, some good men who know the Lord, who can gently lead him into an opportunity to meet Jesus. The Lord loves specific prayers. He loves details like that. And those are the types of things where we can see immediate fruit too, because then the next time your son calls and says, hey, I met this new friend and I'm going to go to church with him, it's like you can see the fruit of your prayer, your intentional intercessory prayer. Yeah. The other reason we need to pray is because we need our own hearts to continue to be transformed. Like I just mentioned, millennials have a nose for anything that's not authentic. So if you're going to look them in the eye and tell them that they need to believe in something, they need to see in your eyes that there's conviction there, that this is deep into your own heart as well. And yeah. So if that's not the case, we need to be growing in our own holiness, in our own walk with the Lord, to be able to look them confidently and say, I have peace, I have joy because of my relationship with the Lord.
Yeah.
So intercessory prayer, that's a huge first one. Second one is when we get into these conversations with millennials, ask questions, okay? We're a selfish bunch, right? We like to talk. We like to talk about ourselves. So play into that a little bit and just ask questions, and not just random questions, but questions that are seeking to understand. Like, could you help me understand why you think this way? Or can you help me break open kind of how you view the world right now? And then when they answer, instead of immediately jumping back with the truth, especially if it's way off base, instead of saying, no, that's not right. This is really what it is, to say, wow, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. Can you help me understand that a little bit more? And just keep diving into the question side. And in some ways, you can't ask too many questions, because what's going to happen, and I've seen this happen multiple times, is eventually they say, okay, enough about me.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about this? Yeah. And then this is really important. You ask one more question when they do that. You ask, do you really want to know? Because what that does is they say, yeah, I really want to know what you think about faith. I really want to know what you think about abortion. I really want to know what you think about whatever X, Y, or Z. Then all of a sudden, they have given you permission to share the truth that's in your heart, to share the truth. And think about the difference there. Instead of you asking a question, they giving a response, and you immediately jumping on whatever the accurate answer is, whatever the correct answer is, all of a sudden now the roles have reversed, and they've given you permission to share the truth to them. Because then no matter what you say, they still fall back on, well, I gave them permission to say it. No matter how much it offends them, no matter how much it kind of contradicts their worldview, they have still given you permission to share it. So by praying and setting the stage through intercessory prayer, and then by asking questions, really, I think, lays a foundation. And this is modeled by Jesus, right? He asked tons of questions throughout the New Testament. Peter, do you love me? What are you looking for? All these things. He's the master of the pointed question, and it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, no, you got two more points. We'll save those for tomorrow, because
sounds good.
Time just flies. And good job, Pete. It was good stuff, I think very helpful. And parents and friends and grandparents who are listening, maybe your heart's been broken and you're trying to reach millennials and you're concerned about where they are in relationship to Christ and the church, just take the advice Pete gave you today. Just keep praying, keep trusting. It's never over till it's over. And the most important thing is for you to just keep pressing deeply into your relationship with Christ and His church. That's the key. God bless. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.